Well, thank you for being with us this morning. It's always great to be able to take a whole big chunk out of our service see what God's doing elsewhere and be able to pray and send and commission and help us continue to realize that, you know, our own lives, what we're all into, isn't the end of the story, right? There's all sorts of great stuff going on. Hey, welcome to you if you're a guest with us, first or second or third time checking things out. Maybe you come along with someone else. We'd love it to get to know you a little bit more. In your bulletin, there's a communication section there. And if you would be so kind as to fill that out, that helps us just know a little bit more about you. I'd love to meet you myself. I'll hang around up here somewhere around the coffee. That's always a good place to talk, right? So if you just want to come say hi, I can learn your name, find out a little bit more about our church. That would be wonderful. I'll just hang out somewhere up here. Just a couple housekeeping family things as we head on into the end of June school year and then into the summer. There's a few needs that some people we'd appreciate to fill. Our nursery, we could use a few people down there. We've had a number of volunteers just step out. So if you've got two hands, a smile, you're qualified. And it'd be great. What better way to have connections between adults and kids than to start just holding and learning names? So as they grow, you can be able to speak their name and ask them how it's going as they grow up. Nursery is an awesome, really, really important. It's not babysitting. It's not keeping the kids quiet, although sometimes that's nice. It's a really important time for connections within our church family. Our grade 2 to 6 class downstairs could use a couple of helpers as well. Again, great time to get to know them as we really seek to be multi-generational. During our prayer time, Pauline prayed for the Klutstras, and let's do a little bit of math here, if you'd like. Found out they're expecting their third child. Youngest currently born child, they discovered she has diabetes, and there's kidney problems where Erica's constantly in and out of the hospital. That's a lot for one family, a lot for Chris to take on. So if you're at all able-bodied for a couple hours during the day, during the week, to even just go over, play with the kids. He's trying to work from home and still make an income and things like that. It'd be great to do that if you'd like to give a gift card or better yet, just meals. Don't worry about the diabetic stuff right off the bat. They can manage that. But just some meals for the whole family, that would be huge. So you're thinking, I'm too busy, someone else will do it. No, they won't. So you do it. Contact them. If you don't know the number, look up our website, countryhillschurch.ca, get in touch with the office, and we can let you know. Last week, we looked at our vision statement. Now, we've had a vision statement for a while. Whatever it takes, we will touch God, even breathe God. We will be family, loving deeply. We will follow Christ, serving recklessly. And we unpacked that a little bit. How do we live this out? We looked at breathe, love, serve. And within the breathe, love, serve, we talked about 3-1-7. I want to just remind you of that, and we'll move into our message this morning. So the 3-1-7 way of living out breathe, love, serve goes something like this. We believe that we are called as a church to do the same thing that every other church is called to do. But our unique language, because all of you are unique and we're a unique church, we're planted in a unique space, we have unique things going on and a unique calling from God. In these three words, which are just language, it's just what we've chosen here, same, we're called to do the same things as other church. But within these three elements, okay, there's the one. The one principle is this. If you're not really connected with our church much or living this kind of a lifestyle following Jesus, start with one thing. Don't try and do it all. Start with one thing. And the one thing also applies to these three things. So we believe that breathing and touching God, sometimes we call that spiritual growth, spiritual formation, that we're called to do that on a daily basis. One thing, one time per day, find per day to go to God, breathing and touching Him. The language is this. That He becomes so real, He's like your air. You literally, spiritually die without Him, and He's so tangible you can touch Him. And then find one way per week. For most of us, it's going to be here to connect with others on a larger scale for some spiritual growth and worship and breathing and touching God. I'll talk about serve and then love. Serving. Okay, when we get together on missions teams and children's ministry and nursery and community outreach, we just are able to do things together that we can't do on our own. We have a food bank here. Gary can't run that by himself out of his basement, All right? We partner together with others. You need to serve. It's part of who God has created you. Ephesians 2:8 says, you know, we've been saved by God, but it's for some things to do. He has some things for your life. So find one time per week, one time every other week, one time per month to partner together with others to use your gifts. It might be in the church, might be somewhere in your community, doesn't matter. You need to do that in order that every day you're looking for ways to bless others through your uniqueness and spiritual gifts, because blessing others softens the soil of the heart to be able to receive the gospel. And then we talk about love. And God's economy of love goes something like this. He loved us first in our sin. We begin to love others who are trying to follow him, because that's the atmosphere that we learn to love each other so that we can better love those who are not yet following Jesus. So smaller groups, doesn't matter if it's a small group or a bunch of family or a ministry team or something, a smaller group of people you're connected with on a regular basis, weekly, biweekly, monthly, where you're learning to be family, where you can love and be loved, and life-on-life relational discipleship, that's really important in order that we learn to better love. So every day we're looking for ways to share God's love with others. We don't create those. God gives those to us. And that's kind of the Country Hills in a nutshell. But the bottom line is this. We believe we're called to glorify God, hands down. That's why we exist. Doesn't matter about our programs, about any of this stuff. We're called, first of all, to glorify God, and secondly, to make disciples who make disciples. What does that mean? It means that we're not content to just do, like, evangelism. You know, we share the gospel. Hopefully someone makes the decision, and we're like, very nice, pat you on the head, leave you on your own. Discipling is what Jesus did. We walk with people so that as they cross lines of faith, make spiritual decisions, we continue with them as they make disciples of others. And we continue that. We disciple who make disciple who make disciples. And that's what we're called to do here at Country Hills, which is the same thing every other church is called to do. We just have this unique language. If you have more questions about that, or it doesn't make any sense, because it is a lot of different language, by all means, contact me. Facebook, you know, email, text, whatever you prefer. Seeds. What do seeds have to do with anything at all? If you want to put about the second slide up there, Rob. There you go. Who's a gardener here? Who did some gardening? Anyone do some gardening yesterday? Got a few? There's a reason you're putting up your hand, because I'm calling you, okay? Because I am not a gardener at all. Okay, I'll get in there. I'll pull some weeds. I'll do some stuff. I know this, okay? I know this. When you plant things, it's a good idea to put little signs on there so you know what's growing, right? I'm good, okay? Number two, all right? Number two thing I know, it doesn't matter what sign you have on there if you plant different seeds. If you want carrots in that row and you put cabbage, it will be cabbage. I know that. I'm very smart. So here's a few seeds and see if you can guess what they grow. Go ahead. All right. Anyone guess what are those? Wow, you are good. Let's see. Yep, pumpkin. Next. This is easy. Come on. Corn. Yep. Okay, next. This one's a little more difficult. Beans, barley, flaxseed. Ooh, the health nuts are coming out. Awesome. Good. Let's see what that is. Bamboo. All right. You don't plant bamboo. You don't know what that is. What's the next seed? All right. So there's two hints there. All right, we got a little bit of a pine coney thing and the seeds that come out of there. What is that? Come on. Now you're nervous because you got the last one wrong. You don't want to be wrong again. I know. Come on. Throw an idea. Pine tree. Pine cones. Let's see what it is. A California redwood that you can drive through. Those little tiny seeds. So it doesn't matter what you want, okay? Whatever you plant, you'll get, okay? Doesn't matter what you think the seeds might look like. Whatever you plant, that's what you'll get. Has anyone ever done that? Driven through the trees? Yeah, a few of you? I think that looks pretty cool. I think that'd be awesome. So whatever you plant, you'll get. Galatians 6:7 says this. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. It begs the question. Okay, begs the question. What should we be planting? What should we be planting? Wisdom is one of my core values. I think it's because I've seen myself and others make such a mess of their lives by making unwise choices. We need to be planting wisdom. In other words, we need to be planting seeds of wise choices and actions. So as I thought about wisdom this week, and it is one of my values, it's one of the things I highly value as a person, I had to think, you know, what are some of the unwise choices that I make on a regular basis? Well, you know what? I regularly admit where I'm wrong. And I think that's a good quality, but oftentimes I fail to change. We're in the middle of James. Sounds familiar? Look in the mirror and go away and don't. I think that's something that I need to grow in. What other unwise things do I do? I think I jump ahead sometimes when I know I should hold back. I know the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, just wait a little bit. And I'm like, no, let's go. Let's give her. Let's get going on this. It's time. I've waited long enough. It's like 2 days. We should be going here. Okay? I think sometimes I sacrifice activity for intimacy. In other words, I think time, although, you know, time breeds intimacy, but I think just hanging out with people or my family is a poor excuse for intimacy. So sometimes I think I sacrifice just activity for real intimacy with others. And I think another unwise choice to make is that if a day or a task or a project or something starts poorly, I think I'm prone to sometimes get discouraged right away and just want to give the whole thing up, because how can it go well if it doesn't start well? And I forget that God is the God of second chances, and he does a lot of amazing things. So I want you guys to take 2 to 3 minutes. This is going to really challenge you, okay, in your seats. I could give you all sorts of illustrations, but look, YouTube, AFV, there's all sorts of stuff with others making really foolish choices. Take 2 minutes in your seats, turn around. If you don't know the people around you, introduce each other, and see if in your group you can come up with maybe one or two stories of things, and this isn't personal, okay, things you've seen others do. Like, I one time saw this other guy do, or I saw this video, or I heard about this lady who. Go. 2 minutes. Talk. See if you can come up with some things. Okay, 30-second warning. All right, time's up. So, it sounded to me like that wasn't too hard to do. Like, it's pretty easy to spot foolish choices around you. In our group, Lindsay said, I know this girl who jumped on a trampoline and landed on her thumb, and it got all bruised. And I don't know who that was yesterday. So, that was an interesting story. She'll show you the scars. I think the real question is, and you can see it on the screen here, this is the bottom line question, okay? How do I make wise choices? If you just flip to the next one there. How do I make wise choices? Okay, that's the polite version. What's the real version that we say? Anybody ever watch Napoleon Dynamite? Okay. Gosh, idiot, so stupid. That's our negative, like, self-talk, if we want to be really honest. We don't say, how do I make wise choices? We say, how do I stop being so stupid? And if you're offended by that word, don't be, because that's often what we say. Let's be honest, right? I did that again. How do I stop? I don't want to live this kind of life anymore. So we're in the middle of the book of James, but James starts way back in chapter 1, laying the groundwork for what we'll see this morning. James chapter 1, verse 5. We're reading from the NLT version. I encourage you to turn there yourself. Bring your Bibles to church. It's awesome to read it for yourself and get immersed in it. And you can just tune me out because God's word's better every time. James 1, 5 to 8. If you need wisdom, yes, me. Okay, if you need wisdom, ask our generous Father and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Don't waver, for a person with a divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. If you need wisdom, where do you go? God, that's your cue. If you need wisdom, where do you go? God, you go to God first, because he said, look, if you don't come to me, you're going to be unstable in all you do. You ever have that? You're like, oh, this option sounds good, and maybe this option, and really, the reality is when we go to God, we receive life, okay? Life. I'm not talking physical. I'm talking quality of life and the abundant life that God wants to give us. When we go to God for wisdom, we get life. We get truth. We get wisdom. When we go to ourself, worldly things, you know, our own ways, we get death every time. Now, that doesn't mean you don't go to others who follow Jesus. You don't go to others who have made wise choices. A wise person has many counselors. A wise person asks lots of great questions, and you go to the people who've proven themselves. Don't go to the person with the fallen apart life who can't make good choices ever. Maybe you need to help counsel them. Go find people who have wisdom. A wise person has many counselors. God gives wisdom. It's not something he says, you know, if you beg and you plead, he says, look, come to me. Just don't doubt. It's not about how much faith you have or if you doubt, God won't give. God just gives. When you doubt, though, it causes yourself to be a wave tossed about. I don't know about this and this, your choices, and you're not sure, and you psych yourself out. Go to God, trust. He wants to give you wisdom more than you want to receive it. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And we have tons of resources in God's Word. And this summer, we're looking at Proverbs. We're looking at Proverbs throughout the summer. Proverbs 1, verse 20 says this, beginning there, 20 to 33. Wisdom shouts in the streets. She cries out in the public square. Whenever you hear in this passage, I, me, she, anything like that, it's talking not about God. It's wisdom. It's a metaphorical thing. Wisdom is not elusive. It's not out there, not to be understood. Wisdom calls to us. The right choice, the proper seed that will get the right harvest is there all along. She calls to the crowds along the main streets, to those who have gathered in front of the city gate. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? Come and listen to my counsel. I'll share my heart with you and make you wise. Nothing more than go. Just listen. It's there. Wisdom, God wants you to be wise, and he'll make you wise more than you want to be wise, because we like being foolish. We like doing our own thing. But I called to you, wisdom says, so often, but you wouldn't come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice. You rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you're in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelm you. When they cry for help, I'll not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. For they hated knowledge, and they chose not to fear the Lord, or chose not to go to God first. They rejected wisdom, my advice, and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes and plans. For simpletons or the foolish turn away from me to death. Go to God for life, go to yourself for death. They turn away from me to death. Fools are destroyed by their own complacency. But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. Bottom line this morning, if you want to understand wisdom, okay, wisdom is about planting. Okay, wisdom is about planting. Your choices are the seeds. Your life is the harvest. So then, how do I make wise choices? Here's our passage this morning. James 3, beginning at verse 13. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly and spiritual, demonic, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's also peace-loving, gentle, willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism. It's always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. If you are wise and understanding, whenever you see the word if, it's one of my favorite words in the Bible. When you see it, it's really important. It means that either God has given you a choice in the past or there's a choice yet to come. If you do this, then, okay? For those of you who do computer programming, right? If, then. That's just the way it works. If you plant a carrot seed, you will not get bamboo, no matter how much you want. If you do these things, if you are wise, if you understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, by doing good works. So James is speaking to some people who are claiming to be wise. And if you look back just a few verses we looked at a few weeks ago, he's speaking to people who are really wanting leadership positions, really wanted to teach, really want to be in charge in the church, but they haven't done the groundwork. Their lives don't match up. They aren't following Jesus at all. They just want the position. They want the glory. They want the position with the responsibility or the work it takes to be spiritual mature before that happens. But it still doesn't answer the question, how do I make wise choices? Let's move on to verse 14. But if, there's a word again, if you are bitterly jealous, so there's a choice. You can go the way I'm talking about, James says, or there's a better way. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. They're not God's kind of wisdom. These things aren't the wisdom of God. These are death, not life. Such things are earthly and spiritual, demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there we will find disorder and evil of every kind. So James cuts to the chase. Clearly there's people who are saying, I can be in leadership, I can tell others what to do, I want to teach, I want the position. They thought that leading and all this stuff was something to be attained or achieved. It's really not. If you can stay out of leadership in the church or pastoring, any of that stuff, unless God calls you, do that. And God's word says that regularly, that, you know, it's a calling, it's hard work, and you've got to do that. But these people didn't want to do that. So they would lie and brag about themselves. They'd make themselves look better than they were, but they proved they lacked God's wisdom by their lifestyle. They bragged, they were bitterly jealous of others who had these positions and thought only of themselves and not their ambitions. God doesn't want us to look at ourselves. He wants our eyes up to him and out to others. Up and out is where he calls our eyes to be. They were planting these kinds of seeds. What was their harvest? The results, the harvest of their choices is clear. There was disorder and evil in their lives. Now, evil makes sense to me. I can get that. Like you're being bitterly jealous. And you ever had someone in a workplace or somewhere where, you know, they're just, if I had that job, I would. If I was in charge, and they undercut leaders all the time, and you're like, just quiet. You're driving me nuts. Because you look at their life and their character, and you're like, no way would I want you a boss over me in a million years. And they just don't see it. The seeds of that, the evil, that I can understand. Because sometimes there's some real bad stuff in that. But disorder, it doesn't quite make sense at first glance. But God is all about order. In creation, the church and families, disorder is the harvest of seeds of jealousy or just plain unwise life. Disorder and evil are always in a place where you find people going their own way. They try and get it all together on their own, and God just says, no, that's not my economy. Look, you come to me, I'll order it for you and give you blessing. But like you do it your own, you're going to reap the benefits of that. If you are sinful and jealous and bitter and all these things, In fact, James goes so far as to say, that kind of lifestyle, those kinds of choices, the result is being earthly, unspiritual, demonic. It's really, really strong words. We want to have God's kind of wisdom, don't we? We want to have life. We want to make choices and live a life based on God's word, based on what the Holy Spirit is teaching us, based on the wise counsel of others. We still haven't answered the question, how do I make wise choices? That's fine. We can all see unwise choices from a mile away, right? It's easy to see. You can see it, and you want to stay away from it. How do we make wise choices? Well, John 10:10 says this, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, Jesus talks about this regularly. This is his plan for us. He doesn't want us to live unwise life. He doesn't want us to be unspiritual and earthly and demonic in how we live. Jesus wants to have a full, rich, satisfying, abundant life. Jesus died not just for the forgiveness of sins. Okay, that's a start. He died so that in his death, he can give us his life, the Holy Spirit in us, the hope of glory. That is why Jesus died on the cross. That's his intent. But when Jesus saw some people who are trying to get to these leadership positions or who were in them who weren't living spiritual, here's what he says about them. Pharisees. Now, not all Pharisees were bad, but on the whole, these religious leaders who made up a whole bunch of rules to try and follow God rather than actually follow God. He speaks to them about spiritual things. It's interesting. He talks about praying, fasting, and giving, all things we need to do. And he says, look, here's another mark of unwise lifestyles. If you're looking to leaders who act like this, don't follow them. Watch out, Matthew 6:1-2. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose your reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do it as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogue and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we had a little button on the bottom of the offering plate, and it announces how much you gave, and everyone can really, we can thank you, and my family can thank you, and our staff and the building can say thank you, and all right. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. That's all they'll ever get. That's it. Anything God might have said, good job. You are learning to live a generous life focused on others. Gone. Further down, verse 5, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. And so we pray like this, oh, Heavenly Father. Our voices change. We want others to look at us. Reward in full. Done. Check. God's like, you want it? You got it. I want to give. You're missing out on abundant life. Down a few verses. Verse 16, and when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled, so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that's the only reward they will ever get. When people say, oh, you're so great. You're such a good Christian. I could never fast like that. Did you give all that money, really? Oh, that's so wonderful. Okay? That is not the kind of deep life you want. Maybe feels good at the time. Maybe awkward, I'd imagine. That's not what God wants for us. Back to James. How is it that we make wise choices? Okay, and I'm going to read this last section in two different versions. Okay? And I want you to pay attention. Watch for the seeds and watch for the harvest. What are the seeds? What are the harvests? How do I make wise choices? Seeds and harvest. First in the New Living Translation, verse 17. But wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. The Message says it this way. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It's gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessing, and not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy, robust community that lives right with God and enjoy its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. How do I make wise choices? Start by getting along with others, putting them first. It reorients your life. Our eyes need to be up and out. First, you want to make wise choices? Start with that. Seems counterintuitive, right? We should be like doing a seminar this morning on how not to be a bonehead or something. That's not the way God's kingdom works. Often when God talks about this, he's really talking about that. And if we think about it in an earthly way and with our own minds, we'll go, this doesn't equal that, but in God's economy, this equals that. Where do we start? You start by getting along with others. If you want to be a person of character, start with your relationships. Because sometimes what that does is it puts you in a place to have eyes that listen to God first. I guess that would be ears. Eyes that see God first. But it also gives you eyes to the lives of others and the choices they're making. You need to gather around you wise counsel. If you're fighting with people who should be giving you counsel, they're not going to give you good counsel. Hey, I'm thinking of this business deal. I'm thinking of marrying this guy. I'm thinking of whatever it may be. And instead of saying, I'll pray about that, and God's telling you to do this, they might say, yeah, sounds good. Yeah, sure. Whatever you feel. Does it feel good? Feels good? Good. Must be a good choice. No, we want people around us who are telling us the truth. We want to be deep in God's word, eyes that are up and looking. Okay? The Bible is God's general revelation. Okay? It can't tell you specifically who to marry. It won't. It just doesn't. Unless their name's physically there and you pray and you open and I don't know. Sometimes that happens again. It won't. But it can tell you guidelines for what a godly man or woman is like. It can't tell you what business decision to make, what school to go to, how to raise your kids specifically when they have learning disabilities or they're acting up. But generally, but listen, you go to God for wisdom in those specifics because you've got a lifestyle that's looking up. You're looking in God's word. You're looking out to the needs of others. You're getting along with the family of God and others. There are others who have some good wisdom. Maybe not followers of Jesus. Go there first. They're not yet following him, but God's placed some wisdom as a spiritual gift already implanted in their lives. Maybe that's a way to connect to them. How do I make wise choices? Okay, so you get along with others first. And then James gives us a great list. Let's look at it on the screen. Okay? Ask if your choices or actions are, first of all, pure and will lead to peace. Are they? It's what you're about to choose, what you're about to do, is it pure? Will it lead to peace? Is it gentle? Is there gentleness with it? Are you willing to put others first, eyes out? Okay? Is it merciful? Will it lead to good things? And is it sincere, not false? Are you lying to yourself? I heard a message by Andy Stanley last fall that profoundly impacted me. He was talking about making decisions. And he said, go into whatever bathroom you can, far away from family who are going to think you're crazy, and look in the mirror and just continue to ask yourself when you're making a choice, am I lying to myself? Am I lying to myself? We lie to ourselves all the time. And something that's false can feel true if we tell ourselves that enough. Is it sincere? Is it not false? And not based on favoritism. Not just favoritism of people, but favoritism in our world view, in how we see things. Why ask these things? Why bother doing that? Because what you plant, you will harvest. If you take care in the kinds of seeds you plant, God will take care in providing a harvest of a full and awesome and abundant life as you follow him. That's what we all want. If you ask God for wisdom, he gives it every single time. Not sometimes, not if you've got enough faith, not if you're holy enough. Go to him. He wants to give it no matter where you're at. And he will help you if you've made unwise decisions. If you've made a huge mess of your life, he's there in a moment to help you unravel the knot that you've tied around yourself and others. Wisdom is about planting. Okay? Our choices, our actions are the seeds. Your life is the harvest. So as we close, we're not going to have a closing song this morning. I'm just going to pray over you. But as we close this morning, I want you to think of one choice or one action you have coming up in the next few weeks, I want you to ask specifically for wisdom from God and then go through that list. If you want, I'll post on Facebook, on our website, on my blog. I'll get that there. You have it there in Scripture anyway. I want you to ask God for wisdom. Go there first. Evaluate your choice with yourself, with your spouse, with a significant other, with a close friend, with other believers before you jump in ahead. That's how we make wise choices. We take care with the seeds we plant. And we will reap a harvest of a satisfying life following Jesus. Wisdom is about planting. Our choices and our actions are the seeds. Our life is the harvest. What seeds are you planting? What will you harvest? So as I pray, just be thinking. Take that to God. What choice, what action do you have coming up that you need wisdom? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so lost without you. Just so completely lost without you. We have no idea where to turn. We try to. We wake up each day. We do our best. But our best never comes close to all the good things you want to give us. Lord, I thank you that some of the good things you give us come in the way of trials and really suffering to refine us and walk the path that your Son walked to. Teach us not to make easy choices, not even to make good choices, not to have easy actions or good actions, but that our choices and actions would be holy, would be wise, that we would reap a harvest of wisdom through our lives, that we wouldn't need to brag about ourselves, tell others that we make good choices, lie, deceive ourselves, fight, scratch, do whatever we can to get positions, but that we would be content in our job, in our family, in our work, in our church, in our neighborhoods, to just simply be where you've planted us and to be wise with what you've given us. Our time, our people, our money, our energy. And Father, specifically for those this morning who are just looking at their life and the mess they're in, some of it self-inflicted, some of it not, and just have no idea where to even begin. God, you do. I pray they would have a direct sense from you this morning that you not only love them, but you have a specific plan to move back into right relationship with you, close, intimate relationship, and life, and abundant life with you. Forgive us for going after what's easy. Forgive us for going our own way. Forgive us for going after the good instead of going after the wise. Thank you, Jesus, that you modeled wisdom. That when you walked with your disciples, Jesus, you put them in places they would have never chosen for themselves. But what it did in their lives, God, and the impact it has on ours, from the men and women who followed you from then till now, the wise examples, this cloud of witnesses we have before us of how to follow you with passion, how to have an impact on our neighbors and our friends and our family, live an abundant, purposeful life. May we chase hard after that in the power of your Spirit. May we be courageous enough to take the tough step, the wise step, and see you come behind us with just so much energy and power and passion. You would just rip our lives up from the roots, replant them, and grow us new. Father, thanks for each person here and those who can't be. Father, pray again for a Peru team as they make the final arrangements to head out. God, we just are looking forward to hearing wonderful stories. And we continue to look forward to hearing wonderful stories in our own lives of wisdom. May we be people of character and people of wisdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks for being with us this morning. Lord bless you as you go. If you have a chance to grab a coffee, to say hi to someone, that would be wonderful. Have a great week.